Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Yeah, it is a pleasure to stand again before you this morning. I will continue with what we have started a few weeks ago about speaking about the doctrine. Last time we speak about the sin, and today we will speak about the believers living the new life for spiritual growth toward the heaven's eternal life. As you can see this title, it is close to what our brother Thomas brought to us in the last 2 weeks, but it will be delivered a little bit differently. And when you accept the Lord, it is you have the assurance of living eternally in heaven. But before arriving there, you will still be in your physical body. And we are living in the world where there are many obstacles. But as we said last time, to be really good Christian, you should try to achieve the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him who lived in our physical body and still didn't sin. We try to do that, but we will not achieve that as long as we are in our physical body. It is very difficult, but we try to go to that state. And it is about that I will speak to today, the fight we are facing. In your bulletin, they have mentioned two passages of the Bible. John 14, I take the New King James generally I use. John 14, verse 21, he who has my commandment and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Romans 12 from verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you can't know what is good, perfect to God if you don't read the Bible, for example. This is something that should be kept in mind. But this morning, after I will give the introduction to this presentation, then I will present spiritual principles that can be observed in our life on this earth, provision for fellow principles, because as I said, it is not possible to attain the holiness of Jesus Christ. Devotional principles, church principles, and then I will give the conclusion. After first the belief and acceptance of one's sinning and lost state, and second, the acceptance of the only way of salvation through faith in the sacrifice paid by the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross, the believer becomes member of the church of Jesus Christ, and adopted child of God. When you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, you become adopted child of God, and you can call God my Father as adopted child. The Lord therefore offers to the then believer not only pardon of the guilt of sin and the assurance of eternal life, but also he offers a new life in which the Spirit of Christ is working actively to transform the believer's walk and renew his or her minds. But the believer can have that kind of life only if he or she takes heed to what the scripture say about how it is to be lived. Spiritual blessing and power are not automatic for the believer. They are highly conditional. In addition to the assurance of eternal life of the believer after salvation by grace and the hope of clear promises in the Bible, it is also important to manifest a changed life as evidence of the believer's claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is facilitated when the new believer confesses Christ as personal Lord before others, discontinues harmful habits and associations, and searches help in prayers and Bible studies from mature Christians. This can be achieved by the observance of some principles in the Christian life: spiritual principles, provision for failure principles, devotional principles, church principles, and I will conclude then. What are the spiritual principles? Victorious Christian is not simply for missionaries and exceptional disciples. It is Christ's will for all his people, all his believers. Ephesians 4, from verse 11, says this: "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that is the church, till we all become to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ," to be the stature of the fullness of Christ. As I said, Christ, Jesus Christ, was holy in this body, and we try to become that. We tend to that, even if we will not achieve that in our life here. The first principle is to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord daily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, like in him." So imitate him in your lives. Imitate him. And the second principle is yield daily to every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 14 says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Abba, Father. We can call God Father. Be occupied with Christ himself rather than self. Hebrews 12 says this from verse 2: "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look in Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And another principle is to obey the word of God. John 14, the Lord has said in that verse, if you love me, keep my commandment. You have to know this commandment. And to know them, read the Bible, meditate the Bible. And fifth principle, serve others for Jesus' sake. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, and whatever you do to other people, I add that, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. What you do to other people, do it as if you were doing that to the Lord. And don't expect the reward from people who are receiving that. No, you will receive reward from God himself. And you know the principle is discipline your life. In 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, from verse 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we have, as Christians, we have to discipline our body and bring it into subjection. And the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. All these things are very important in our Christian life. We are trying to do that, all of us, including myself. So add to your faith that led you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all these things, virtue, knowledge, reading the Bible, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and and love. All these things are very important. Then there are provision for failure principles. The believer might stumble or fail, as was the case for some greatest men such as David and Peter. You know, David failed many times, and Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ the day he was betrayed. But, however, it is important to seek restoration to God and come under his discipline and correction. There are some remedies to this end. Hebrews 12 from verse 5 says this, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So the Lord will help us, correct us if necessary. So the first principle then is to fulfill your responsibilities. What are these responsibilities? Confess and forsake all thoughts or actions which you know to be outside the will of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just for to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We are sinners. We try to be correct, but sometimes we stumble, and we have to confess our sins to God. Second, make things right with others wherever possible. In Matthew 5, from verse 23, we read this: therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So, make us correct before we go to the Lord. And three, see, be forgiving and forbearing, cover with love as much as possible. Colossians 3, from verse 12, says this: therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. This is missing so many times. We are too proud and we don't act with love, which is the bond of perfection. Love is very important. And another principle is to get back into full fellowship with God in the word and prayer and with all the believers in the local church. Concept, this is the concept that was accepted by the apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read this from the verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, church of God, local church of God, we can say, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Well, every place people can meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have provision for failure principles. The believers might tremble. Devotional principles. Each believer must spend time daily with God. Our life must be an intimate fellowship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some practices characterize this fellowship. Quiet time. Some time in the morning should be dedicated to the fellowship with God in prayer or meditation. Speaking about the Lord in Mark first chapter 1, verse 35, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The Lord Jesus Christ left us that example. In the morning, he isolated himself to pray. So we can do that also in our lives. Evening and all the moments of the day can be dedicated to the scripture meditation and prayers as well. Sometimes the prayer can be done in silence when facing some hard moment during the day, as Nehemiah did before the king Artaxerxes. Nehemiah received, they were in captivity, and he received bad news about his brothers and sisters who stayed in Israel. And he was serving the king, But that morning he wasn't happy. And the king saw that his servant was not happy. And the king said to Nehemiah, "What do you request?" So, because Nehemiah explained that I am not happy because my brothers and sisters are suffering. What do you request? The king asked him. So I prayed to the God of heaven. When he heard that question, he prayed not loudly, but inside himself, he prayed. And the king accepted to send him back to rebuild Jerusalem and so on. He prayed internally, not with a loud voice, no. Prayer. Praying is not an option for the believer. It is a duty. Luke 18, verse 1. Then he, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Might to pray. They ought to pray and not lose heart. Another principle is to study the word of the Lord individually or in group. This can be done in different forms: meditative, short portion of the Bible, consulting commentaries, systematic study of books, and so on and so on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have tasted that because you have accepted that he died on the cross for you, and you accepted that by faith to know that it is by grace that you are saved. So you should do that. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the mere oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. We all learn continuously. On Wednesday, we learn too much in discussion with brothers and sisters. We learn too much. Every week, we learn new things when we come on Wednesday. So studying the Bible with other Christians is very important. And then witnessing overflow. We are given power by God to be the witnesses for Jesus Christ in the world by sharing our faith around us. Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And we know that when you accept the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you to help you in that way also. Church principles. The Lord Jesus Christ has a great love of his church, his body, made up all the redeemed people despite its earthly deficiencies. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says this: husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Acts 2, verse 41 says this: then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That is done in local congregations, called a church. So baptism his one principles. It is a public confession of the Lord Jesus Christ by the new believer who has been saved because he has accepted the Lord. Act 8, verse 36 says this, Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. So baptism is an important testimony for someone who has accepted the Lord. Apostles' teaching, now contained in the Bible, together with that of the prophets of the Old Testament, which is also the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That was Paul telling Timothy. Fellowship. Believers are told not to forsake the assembling of themselves with other believers. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, we read this, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is the end of the world, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And prayers. I think that I should go back. Breaking of bread. This has to do with the memorial feast of bread and wine instituted by the Lord the night in which he was betrayed. In Luke 22, verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup, the new covenant my blood in my blood, which is shed for you. It was observed by the first believers, this action. And every Sunday here, from 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock. It's from 10 o'clock we do that. That is the first meeting, yeah. Act 20. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. You see that they were doing that, breaking the bread regularly in the first assemblies. It is what we are doing here. Prayers. Prayers can be done collectively with all the believers or individually in different circumstances. Act 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And Matthew 18, verse 19, we see this. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Earlier, our brother prayed for different situations, and we were many here. So the God, our Creator, here at, and the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us for that. So that is very important. What can we conclude then? Once one accepts by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior from the penalty of eternal death due to sins, he or she also commits to follow his teachings and those of his apostles. To fulfill this commitment, the believer will try to accomplish many endeavors related to individual and group Bible studies and prayers to better understand the will of God. Regular participation to the local church activities, the testimony as Christian around him or her in his or her conversations and behavior, perseverance in the spiritual fight and service to God. However, despite this commitment, the believer will face challenges coming from different sources, such as the attack from Satan, such he did to the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the wilderness. Satan tested the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know how he vanquished him, just with the word of the Bible. The personal weakness, as was the case of actions by Adam and Eve in the garden, you know what they did. A refusal to follow the God's order by Jonah, you know Jonah was asked to go preach in an area, and he thought that, that area, people there are very bad, I should not go there. But the Lord brought him there in the belly of a fish. A covetousness by Achan. It was said that you should not use the products of a conquered territory, but he did. He used that. Content without regard to advice by Hiel of Bethel. He was advised not to build the same thing, to rebuild Jericho, and he did. He did. Occultism by Saul. Saul did many things that weren't correct for God. The weaknesses in the front of the natural physical principles of the world, such as accident that can happen to a believer, sickness that can also happen to the believer, death that can happen, natural danger and mourning, all these things can discourage a believer, and they should not. Also, the difficulties allowed for the education of the believer, as we said, we read earlier, God can chasten his children. In this way, God can lovely chasten the believer, as we say so in Hebrews 12 and so on. Whatever the source of difficulties, the believer should not be discouraged. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 says this, and Saint Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, because Paul informed them about problems he was facing, and he said that you should not be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed for to this, to face these difficulties. God gives a particular strength to overcome problems and difficulties we are facing in our lives. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." To be content in any situation. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The Lord Jesus Christ is our help in different situations we can face. We can bring our suffering to him and expect that we will have the response. Thank you for your attention this morning.